today as we come to the table.
Whatsoever is in your control, if you set up high boundaries, not legalism, high boundaries to protect yourself, you're going to be protected. But if you start hanging around at the vineyards, I'm just going to be a place I know I shouldn't be. She's cute. The marriage is not so good right now. I like to talk to her. She recognizes my cologne. I'll just kind of hang next to the vineyard. When you put yourself in that position, what can happen? The Bible says that Satan walks around like what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
If we hang around the vineyards, or in more current words, our places of temptations, then guess what? We will be tempted. We see in the Bible that even the physically strongest person could be tempted and fall into sin that ended up wrecking his life before God intervened and turned it all around for the better. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to put up some boundaries and act. Sometimes the world will create a social norm that encourages us to slip up and forget about what truly matters. So, actively put things in place so you can't physically slip up and make a decision that you'll ultimately regret. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Verse 6, the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God has come to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. So she recognized, something about his countenance, he looked different. The Bible says the countenance of the righteous is like a lion. The countenance of the righteous is bold. There's something about it. You just see it. There's a strength to it. Again, you see that in men that are sharing the gospel a lot of times in these big crusade things. Look at their face. There's a power in their face. I don't want to describe it any other way. Well, that's from the Lord. Imagine the Lord. Imagine what his face looked like. Imagine the power in his face. And not an angry face, just a power. I can't describe it, but again, she recognized that. She saw it in his face. His countenance, like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I didn't ask him where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. And he came to me and said, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child will be a Nazarite to God from the womb till the day of his death. And Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Now, God had already told him. He told it to Manoah's wife. But again, he's like, I want to know exactly. I want to make sure she got everything right. Let's get some details, right? It's kind of funny for a man to want details. See, miracles. Again, more miracles from the scripture. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And this is interesting. And the angel of God came to the woman again. I'm saying he listened to the man, but he came to the woman again. Again, I don't know exactly the reason for that. But it's interesting. He comes back to her as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman ran in haste and told her husband, she said, hey, stay right here. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. I'll be right back. I don't know what she said, but she ran in haste, told her husband, said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. You know, again, we're to lead our wives, aren't we? But there are times when our wives are more in tune with the Spirit than we are, husbands. Let's not shrug that off. Let's be aware. There's a lot of times where, God will say things to Tracy, and I'm like, okay, that was God. You know, I thought I was the pastor. I thought I was the man of the house. And I'm going, well, I am. That's all true. But she hears from God. And so we have to be open to listen to our wives. And so, again, I know that's not really necessarily what was happening here, but again, that just jumped out to me. Don't be afraid of that. Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life in this work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "All that I've said to the woman, let her be careful." So I've already said it, but I'll say it again. "She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor shall she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I've commanded, let her observe." And Manoah says, and you know, this is really God's encouragement to him. Hey, let your wife, this is me telling your wife to do this, so don't try to override that. Let her do it. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we'll prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." Now, again, they didn't know yet he was the Lord. But he's about to allow them to make this offering to him, which shows us that it was Jesus, if you will. For Manoah did not know that he was, notice, the angel of the Lord. Again, there's that phraseology again. And then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Well, what is your name that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" That word wonderful it means basically indescribable. You know, there's this larger meaning to the word wonderful. It says, I'm not going to try right now to tell you what my name really means, because the name of the Lord, again, wonderful counselor, mighty God, you can go to a whole list of things. You get the point. He said, you don't need to worry about my name right now. My name is, wonderful. You don't know who it is you're talking to. You're talking to God in human form. And so just receive what I'm saying to you, and you'll see that it's me. And you don't need to be concerned about that. You'd be concerned about what I'm telling you. And note this too, guys. God doesn't always give us all the details. He doesn't always tell us everything. God will tell us what he wants us to know, and sometimes he doesn't give us the rest. He's God. He knows what's best. Sometimes it's best we don't know all the details. In this case, he said, you don't really need to know everything yet. And we're going to see that he didn't want Manoah, it might be he didn't want Manoah to realize he was the Lord yet, because Manoah's going to freak out here in a minute, but his wife, again, appears to be the one, I would say to some degree, and seems to be the more spiritual one. I can't say for sure, but she certainly is the one that's more settled in her heart when it comes to reason and logic here in just a moment. You'll see what I'm talking about when we get there. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Offering it on the rock. He is the rock, and this whole picture of this offering to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. So like they're watching this, and he kind of goes into the fire and just goes up, just gone. I mean, that would have been pretty amazing, kind of freak him out, I would think. And when Noah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. So they had quite a dramatic response here. I'm sure we would have done the same thing. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, or then Manoah knew, it was after this, that he was the angel of the Lord, that is God in human form standing before them. And Manoah said to his wife, "We'll surely die because we've seen God." Again, the scripture says, remember, nobody can see God and live. But here's the thing, we can't see God in his full glory, in spirit and live, but we can see him how? In the form of Jesus. And that's why Jesus, when God came to speak to mankind, he would always come as the angel of the Lord, or theophany, Christophany. He would come and reveal himself in a form that we could see, in a form that we could recognize. And again, when Jesus walked the earth, he was God in human form. The miracle wasn't so much that it was man in human form, although that was amazing, but that he had doused his glory for our sake. His glory was held back so we could behold him at our level. What's really going to be cool is when we get to heaven, we'll have new eyes and a new body. We can behold him at his level. Will that be great or what? It's going to be amazing. So he's freaking out. We've seen God. We're going to die. You know, he's one of those, we're going to die, right? You know those people. That's Manoah. But look at this. Look at the settledness of his wife, though. His wife said to him, "Look, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would have not accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." And she's just speaking very logically. God wouldn't have shown us all this, made all these promises just to kill us right afterwards. You're going to have a son. He's going to be a great man. Put an offering. You're dead. You know, it doesn't work that way. He says, stop and think for a minute, Manoah. You're overreacting here. You just don't freak out. It's going to be okay. And again, wives are good for that as well, calming us down sometimes. I love it. This is a great little episode here, a little marital episode going on here. And so God would have done these things. You know, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted a burnt offering and done all this. Nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. Verse 24, so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, again, we talked again just a couple of weeks ago about the different workings of the Spirit. Remember, we had the in, the with, and the upon. Now we see the upon. And we talked about, remember, what was the upon for? Power. Remember, whenever the Spirit comes upon you, the in is the indwelling. That's salvation. The with, you've got God alongside you. The on, the upon, is so you can have power to do what God's called you to do and power to walk in the ministry. So God began to come upon, at this time, Samson, because he was going to use Samson in great ways. And now we see that work of the Spirit beginning in Samson's life. Chapter 14, and this first sentence really sums up the rest of Samson's life. Now, Samson went down. He never went back up. Until the very end, we're going to see his last moment of restoration to the Lord. But this is very descriptive of Samson's life, because from this point, it's just downhill. And that's why I say it's so tragic, because Samson was a man who was driven by his flesh. You know, Samson could defeat 1,000 people with the jawbone of an ass, we're going to see, but he couldn't restrain his own sexual desires. He could defeat the Philistines in battle in great ways, but he couldn't control his eyes from wandering at different women. And it destroyed him. Again, more of a warning to men than women, but we all have our different struggles. But you know, this is challenging because, again, it's finding that place where we don't let our passions, the natural things God has given us, control us. We have to control them. And that's done by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by willpower, by God's power, and also by what we allow in or don't allow in. We're going to see throughout Samson's life here that his eye gate was open to whatever wanted to go in. And I'm going to tell you, and the men know this, I'll just encourage the men with this, the men know it, the women probably do, but the eye gate to a man, if it's open like that, it can really take you over. And so what that means for us as men, we have to control the eye gate. We have to be the one that allows in or doesn't allow in. It's been said the first look you can't control, but the second one is the one you have to be able to ask for God's power and strength to master. What you watch, you know, you can't help it if you see an attractive woman, if you're a man, but you don't have to keep looking. The shows you watch, the things you allow in, and the Bible says it plants seeds in the heart, and as those seeds are in the heart, what happens is over time they grow, and by the time they bloom, it's often too late, and then the battle's been lost. Samson is going to be this very, again, this whole verse 14, verse 1 sums him up. Notice he went down to Timnah, by the way, which is the place he shouldn't have been in. What's he doing going to Timnah? Timnah was a Philistine territory. Timnah was a place of the enemy. So here's Samson. Throughout his life, you're going to see him going to a place where the enemy hangs out. And if Samson wasn't hanging out in the place of the enemy, then the enemy wouldn't be able to get a hold of Samson as much as he did, which is another warning for us. If we're not hanging out in places we don't need to be hanging out, we're going to be protected. And we'll see more of that in a moment. But notice he goes down to Timnah, and here it is. He saw a woman. Now, there's the big mistake. No, there's nothing wrong with seeing a woman. But in Samson's case, he saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So a Philistine filly. And he went down and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman. You know, again, well, I know, honey. And we, you know, we've talked about this, you know, but, you know, should have prepared you better. But here we go. I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as wife. Ugh. You know, Samson's kind of like a caveman. Give him a club. And, got one, Dad. You know, it's like, calm down, boy. You know, this is, you're going about this the wrong way. But this was Samson's problem. Again, it's been said he was a he-man with a she problem. Because he was always drawn in by the flesh. And again, this is, it seems like a small thing, and it can seem like a small thing, but it can destroy a man, and has destroyed many a man. It puts fear in my heart. I see men much greater than I am that have fallen. And any guy in this room that says, it won't be me, be careful, because you're no greater than King David. And if you think a man after God's own heart, if you think you're greater than King David, you're already starting on the wrong foundation. What you have to recognize is, were it not for God's grace and wise decisions and the power of the Holy Spirit, I would ruin my life. And there needs to be a healthy fear in our hearts of this. Because if we don't have a healthy fear, we start letting the boundaries down. And when the boundaries get let down, that's when the enemy's ready to pounce. And again, we'll see that more graphically here in just a moment. But he says, get her for me. And his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren? Like, why are you going to the unbelievers? And what does the Bible tell us in the New Testament? Don't be unequally yoked. Stay with believers. By the way, be warned of that. Those of you that are not married, you know, you don't need to be dabbling with unbelievers and having any interest in that area, because again, you know, don't think you're going to lead them to the Lord. You've heard this over and over. Typically, they pull you down. You don't pull them up. And I know you think it'll be different. It is so rarely different. I can't say that it's never happened, but it's so rare. It's foolish to ever take that chance. Why don't you stay among your people and the people of God? And among the people that you have to go get a wife from, the uncircumcised Philistines. We would say today, the unbelievers. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. It's like, look, I don't care what she's like or what her background is. She's beautiful. Again, we see the problem here, don't we? He's being driven by his lust and by his desires and by his eyes rather than by logic and by reason. You know, it's interesting. I was just this past couple of weeks, I may have shared this with you guys, but I was reminded of that's why, again, God gives parents and God gives direction even for teens as they're growing and who they should date and who they should have a relationship. But don't be afraid to be involved in that. And why do I say that? We now know scientifically, first of all, as unto God, we need to be involved in that. But we now know scientifically that the reasoning process of the brain is not fully developed. Are you ready for this? Until 25. And some say as much as 27. What that means is predominantly teenagers predominantly are driven in all their decisions by what? Emotions. Emotions. So to make major life decisions as a teenager without the parents' influence, huge mistake, because it's the emotion driving the decision. The reasoning process of the brain has not kicked in yet. And so, again, they're trying to reason with him. We don't know how old he was here. It doesn't give us the details, but, you know, he probably at this point, this being his first endeavor toward a wife that got married pretty young, he very well could have been a teenager here, but he's like, look, I don't care. My emotions have taken over. She's a looker, and we've got to do this thing according to culture where you give the approval, and also let's get on the road here and do this thing. Not using reason or logic. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. Now, even though this is wrong, God's going to use it. God's allowing this to happen because it's an opportunity to get at the Philistines. He said he didn't know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother. And notice this, came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, his mother and father are not with him when he's here at the vineyards of Timnah. So whether they already got there and Samson went back out, or whether or not he said, why don't you guys go on down there? I'm going to go this way and I'll meet you. But you'll somehow. We don't know how he did it. But notice this. Samson somehow gets away from his parents. And where does Samson end up? At a vineyard. What did God tell Samson not to do? Don't go anywhere near the vineyard. Don't go anywhere near wine. Samson, if you get near wine and you're going to be a servant of God, it's going to impair your reasoning abilities. It's going to impair your thinking. I won't be able to use you the way that I want to use you, because that's what alcohol does. Stay away from it. What do we see Samson doing? Oh, I know God says that. I know I should probably stay away from it, but what's a little glass of wine going to hurt me? What's a little bit of, hang around the vineyard some. That won't be a big deal. And they would make the wine right around the vineyards. And so you have the wine right there at the vineyard, which indicates to us he was going to the vineyard for a reason. His mom and dad weren't there. There was no need to go there for his little gathering for this wedding down in Timnah. And yet he goes to the vineyard. Now note this. What did we say earlier? If we start hanging out in places that we shouldn't be, what's going to happen? It gives opportunity for the enemy to attack. Men, if we are never alone with another woman but our wife, we can never commit adultery. It's just a truism. If you are never alone with another woman but your wife, you will never commit adultery. It's impossible. Well, don't be so legalistic. Don't be so strict. Well, come on, I have to do this. Look, if there's a job and you've got to do, I understand all that. I'm not talking about the realities of the world where people are working. But whatsoever is in your control, if you set up high boundaries, not legalism, high boundaries to protect yourself, you're going to be protected. But if you start hanging around at the vineyards, I'm just going to be a place I know I shouldn't be. She's cute. The marriage is not so good right now. I like to talk to her. She recognizes my cologne. I'll just kind of hang next to the vineyard. When you put yourself in that position, what can happen? The Bible says that Satan walks around like what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Samson now decides he's going to hang out in a place that God said, Samson, Sam, you don't need to be there. This is the place you don't need to be. I can handle this. And God's going to be gracious to Samson and teach him a great lesson in this. But Samson almost loses right here in a big way. Look what happens. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Had he not been in a place where the lion could roar at him, he'd have never been roared at. You with me? But Satan saw his opportunity, and here he goes. He knew that God had called him. But now God is also going to use this bad decision by Samson to teach him his supernatural power, because he's going to need to know this when it comes to fighting the Philistines. Look what it says in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, as though he had nothing in his hand, But he didn't tell his father and mother what he'd done. Well, of course not, because he wasn't supposed to be hanging out at the bar. He said, hey, I was at the bar, and I know I'm not supposed to, because I'm a Nazarite, but you should have seen, man, this lion, and I was awesome. It's kind of like the pastor that goes golfing on Sunday morning gets a hole in one. Who's he going to tell? Never mind. So, you know, this is an amazing thing. But now what God was showing Samson was, Samson, no normal man could do that. I'm giving you a supernatural power. Now, Samson probably was a muscular guy. I doubt he was like an Arnold type guy. And why do I say that? Because we're going to see in more than one instance, they ask, find out where the source of his power is. Now, if Samson was, you know, like the Hulk or something, they wouldn't ask what the source of his power is. They would say, man, that guy's huge and massive. No wonder he can do all this. But they say, could you find out where is his strength coming from? So I think he was really more normal looking, although I'm not saying he might not have been muscular. I mean, he could, very well could have been, and he probably looked pretty awesome. I mean, he had this hair, think about it, growing his whole life. Probably looked like the mane of a tiger, you know. And it's like, you know, Fabio on steroids, right? You know, as far as the muscles thing go. But this, I believe this took him by surprise. I think it shocked him. I think he saw a lion coming, and he just reacted with adrenaline and grabbed it. And he rips this lion apart and goes, whoa. I just ripped a lion apart. And I can imagine just thinking, God, what have you done? What ability do I have? Because he had to know, look, Arnold couldn't rip a lion apart. Are you with me? Even the big muscle guys, they couldn't rip a lion apart. A lion would eat them, you know. I will now munch you up, you know, whatever. So I think he realized at this point, there's a supernatural thing going on in my life. He needed to know that, because he's going to be going alone against the Philistines and doing amazing military things. He needed to know there was a supernatural power. So God used his foolish decision. It doesn't mean we should be doing foolish decisions. Well, God will cover me. No, not always. God protected him this time and used it to show him that he'd given him supernatural power. He couldn't tell his parents because, again, he wasn't supposed to be there at the vineyard. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after some time, when he had returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Now, what that tells me is two things. Yes, maybe there was curiosity to go back and see this lion that he killed. I can see a guy doing that. I don't know if girls understand that, but I can see a guy going, I want to go see that dead lion, you know. I can see that. It's a guy thing. But it shows me he went back to the vineyard.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. One of the most fascinating characters in the book of Judges is Samson. Samson was set apart by God to lead the Israelites against their oppressors, the Philistines. God blessed Samson with superhuman strength for this purpose. Samson could kill a lion with his bare hands, and he could defeat 1,000 soldiers with nothing but a donkey's jawbone. But rather than fulfilling God's mission and fighting against the Philistines, Samson was literally flirting with them and chasing after Philistine women. He used his special God-given strength for his own selfish purposes and desires. It wasn't until Samson foolishly lost his strength and his eyes that he humbled himself before God. What talents and opportunities has God given you? We pray that you're using these God-given blessings to serve God and bless others. Come to the Table is the broadcast ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, come join us. We'd love to meet you. Service times can be found at our website, thewaymedia.net. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, that's okay. Join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app, which you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for you today, but we pray that you've been blessed by our study through the book of Judges. We look forward to you joining us for another edition right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.